two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome back to The Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Carey. We got a text here. And this actually is a brief reference back to when we were talking about the countries that were being allowed into Europe, into the European Union. Remember that China is one of the countries that can travel to the European Union. It says, hey, if China's doing that well now, why can't I get a Nintendo Switch at Walmart yet? Doesn't everything we get at Walmart come from China? A Nintendo Switch, is that made in China? I guess it is. I would believe that.
But Nintendo's a Japanese company, but I would imagine the I think it's true. They are manufactured in China.
Well, I think that China won't send us the Nintendo Switch for the same reason that Europe won't let us go to Europe, and that is they don't want the Nintendo Switch catching the corona. I mean, I think that is clearly the case.
You know what's funny is during all this, we got a Nintendo Switch right at the very beginning of all this, like you know that first week of that or that second week of March or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Nintendo Switch and I walked in. It was a super awkward situation because I walked in and it was the GameStop over here at Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And they were limiting people in there and blah, blah, blah. And it was kind of when we were freaked out the most, you know,
yeah,
during all this. Maybe it was the first week of April. I walk in there. And I was like, do you have any Nintendo Switches? And she goes, did you just call? And I was like, no. She goes, okay, well, I had a guy just call, but we have two left. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll take one. And then another guy came and goes, you have any Nintendos left? And she's like, we do. We have one left. He's like, oh, my goodness. You can't believe it. I've been driving up and down trying to find these places. And then a guy came in. He goes, hi, I just called for that Nintendo Switch. And I'm like, bye-bye.
I'm going to go.
Bye-bye. I mean, They didn't have a thing where they said, yeah, we'll keep it on hold for you. You know, if you've ever worked in retail, you can't do that. If you say, hey, I'll put it in the back. If you had a million of them, you go, I'll put your name on it and put one in the back. That's different. But this poor guy came in, and it was sad.
Wow. So. Shoot. All right. Mm. Well, thanks for bumming us all out.
I'm just telling you, I didn't know that Nintendo Switches were still, there were still shortages. Since then, I've taken the Nintendo Switch away from my kids. So how's that make everybody feel?
You took it away?
Well, what not happened? Like permanently. It was abusive. It was abusive power. Yeah. The oldest kids were abusing their abusing power.
We've struggled quite a bit with kind of how to manage the Xbox. I play the Xbox. My kids play the Xbox. But the problem is one kid dominating the time, the opportunity to play. And so what I did, Alex, is I let them come up with their own rules for it. I said, why don't you guys come up? Because what would happen is at the very first sign of disagreement, I'd shut the whole thing off.
Yeah.
It's
all right,
if you're going to fight about it,
gone.
You know, as soon as someone came to me and said, Dad, so and so,
perfect, because they know that if they come to you even with a complaint,
mm-hmm,
it's gone. Well, so both parties have to figure it out, otherwise they lose it. We had it on the timer, and the timer worked out. And, you know, I had I think we had like an hour and a half, you know, or something. And they'd come up to me and they'd be like, sure enough, by the end of the day, they'd go, hey, Dad, can you go ahead and turn that? Can I get a couple of extra minutes here? And I'm like, an hour and a half. You've had 90 minutes today.
Yeah.
You don't need more. You don't need more. Figure it out.
What is cool, though, is we said, hey, look, just come up with a set of rules that, you know, the three of you are good with. You can do it however you want. What they did is they came with blocks of time. You're during this block of time, so they each have a little block of time during the day in which their access is inviolate, right? So no one can take it away, or at least I can, of course, but like they have access, the siblings can't say anything. And then they put in rules for if you want extra time or if you want time during someone else's time, this is what you have to do, right? Because you might have a friend pop up that's outside of your time frame and you want to play, but you got to negotiate that. So they kind of laid down the rules, and it's actually, I was surprised, it's actually really worked out well. And so we can just say, well, you know, what are the rules saying? That for the most part handles it. I'm very proud of their efforts on this because they've been able to get a workable Xbox regime in that seems to handle all of the, you know, all the issues that have come up. I'm very proud of them. And I'm very proud of myself for being such a great dad. I'm thinking about writing a book about it.
You know what? You should. Video Gamer Dad. Boom. I'll give you the title of it. Gamer Dad.
Gamer Dad. I love it.
Because,
you know, everyone's saying, well, don't let your kids have screen time. But what if there's another way? And anyway, we know now that it's not about screen time. It's about quality of content, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. My thing is that we're very specific about the games that we have. We don't have very many games. We have like Dance Dance Revolution, and we have Mario Kart, and we have, I think, like Minecraft. But I'm not doing the Fortnite thing. I have not given into Fortnite. My 12-year-old keeps trying to sell me on Fortnite, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
Sticking to not having – even so, like every parent that I've ever met is like, look, don't – if you can wait as long as you can – to give in on the Fortnite. Yes. I mean, and that's like the advice again. And I'm taking it because all my friends' kids are older than our kids, than our oldest kids. And they're just like, if you can just hold out, man, just do it. And guess what? My kids have it. Their lives haven't ended because they don't have Fortnite. And I know if they had it, their lives wouldn't be over either. But I'll tell you what it would do is it'd be weird. Plus, I have too many young kids that wouldn't get it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's well, and it's not just Fortnite, but all of those kind of games. What Fortnite represents is a much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Why can't I come up with this idea?
Tasty,
intense game in the sense of options available, and Fortnite has mastered the art of keeping your kids' attention and always offering them something new and kind of moving them forward in a way that, you know, the game really doesn't change, but the peripherals change enough that your kid feels like they're making meaningful progress, and they feel compelled. They want to keep moving through it and they want to keep doing it. And so it really is kind of comprehensive in that way. So, yeah, I think you're right. If you're going to cross that Fortnite bridge, you just got to be ready because it's a whole different kind of game. Whole different kind of game.
Well, my thing is that I don't want to and again, I was playing – this is not me acting like I'm some sort of Perfect Parent Club situation. Ooh, we haven't done Perfect Parent Club very much.
No, we haven't.
You know what? Write it down. Final Nightside Project tomorrow night, we'll do a Perfect Parent Club.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll just tell people how amazing parents we are. But what we've done is like I was playing GoldenEye. I was playing 007.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot people in the face in that game, right? But the graphics were so bad that you were like, haha, this is like fake shooting people in the face.
Yeah.
And now it's just gotten crazy. And yeah, I just I don't like it.
Yeah, but Fortnite's cartoony. No gore. There's no blood.
Right, it's a cartoony.
No blood or anything.
It's a cartoony violence. And I get it. I'm like, I've watched it, and my son will go over and watch other people play it. I just don't want to introduce that because every parent says, and it's not even about the content of the game necessarily as much as it is the addictive level that game has gotten people to.
Yeah, they've mastered the art of keeping young people's attention for a prolonged period of time. And by prolonged, I mean years.
Yeah.
That's no joke.
No, well.
So.
But plus, you have a healthy gaming habit, don't you? You still playing Have you played during the pandemic?
I can quit anytime. I can quit anytime I want. I want to say that right now. Oh. I want to quit. I could quit anytime.
Interesting.
But yeah, I do enjoy playing video games. I've been playing a lot of Warzone, so which is kind of it's kind of the grown up Fortnite, to be honest.
But do your brothers have they been playing during the pandemic with you?
Yeah, yeah, you know, a little bit.
What you do is you say we got to keep the family together.
You yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you got to keep that sibling love going on, man. Even
and
across,
got
even
jobs
across
and things like that.
Yeah, so. You guys are cross state at this point. You got to keep that thing going.
Yeah, that's true. Most millards are in Texas now. Yeah.
Oh boy,
can you believe that? We've
it's
all become
amazing.
Texans.
You know what? Everybody usually gravitates toward that.
Well,
that
you know,
state.
We still most of the actual households are here. My sister just had so many kids that by volume, we're mostly Texans. So.
All right. Well, you know me.
She has a really big
as
family.
A Texan myself, I'm I can vouch for their kids growing up in mostly pretty fun neighborhoods.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what, man, it is full on Friday Night Lights.
Oh yeah. Well, but Texas is. But are they calling it off this year?
I don't know. I think they've postponed it because you know they wouldn't call it off completely. They postponed it, but my nephew's getting recruited.
What? Oh, that's
he's
right.
Got,
to play.
He's got
a kicker,
multiple
right?
offers.
He's
yeah,
a
he's
kicker,
got
yes?
Yeah, he's got multiple offers.
Multiple
so.
Offers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, just tell me when he's ready to change his mind and not go to BYU so I can have my heart broken again. That's fine. That's cool. We're not going to have a football season anyway this year.
We're not going to need kickers anyway.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to roll through here. We've got a couple. We got your what you learned in the program. Text at 57500. And what else do we have? We still got a couple things we can
Zen
throw
headline.
Out there. Zen headline. I've got some other stuff we can just throw in there as well. Might as well. So, look, second to last night of the Nightside Project, another spring, summer fun time that we had with you guys. It's been so much fun. But we will be back again tomorrow night and next after this break, of course. Just 7 more segments, or no, just 9 more segments left of the Nightside Project in the spring-summer edition. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.